Roger Zackheims of counsel at Covington and Burling and former general counsel and deputy staff director at the House Armed Services Committee, looking at the defense budget as released as part of President Obama's budget request for for 2016 that we're learning about today. The total number is $534 billion for the baseline, Roger. And I guess the biggest problem that we look at is that's $38 billion over the caps. Given that, what does the House Armed Services Committee do with the requests that they get today? Or do they do anything at all, or just put it aside until they come up with their own plan to go to the Senate with? Thanks for coming on, Roger.
Well, thanks for having me on, and great question. The Armed Services Committee, both in the House and the Senate, will look at the defense number, work with the budget committees in both chambers. And what I expect is both sides will encourage their respective budget committees to put forward a budget that is at least at the same spending level as the president's request. As you know well, Republicans do think there's a need to give DOD relief from sequestration. They do think that the Department of Defense has been underfunded, not every Republican, but the majority of them. And therefore, their budget, consistent to what you've seen in the House, what's called the Ryan budget for the past few years, will give DOD relief from the defense budget. The difficulty is the Republican path towards giving DOD relief from sequestration is fundamentally different from the way the president is approaching the budget in his request or his package that he sent over to the Hill today.
So what is the interaction with the Armed Services Committees and the Appropriations Committees, given that Republicans don't have a corner on the market? There are some Democrats, too, that believe that sequester relief is in order. They just want to do it, as you said, they want to do it a different way. And so this seems like there's a potential here for there to either be pretty clear movement in a fair amount of time, or the potential for a big stew that turns into nothing really fast.
Well, yeah, there are a number of steps that have to play out here. So I think step number one, you'll see the House Budget Committee roll out a budget in the next month or so where, like they've done in the past, as I mentioned, provide for defense above sequestration caps. The way they'll do that, for the most part, is paying for it through the non-defense accounts. And what that will allow them to do is to fund defense and non-defense still stay under the total sequestration cap. The Senate is going to be interesting what they do, because to get support in the Senate with a budget like that, they might not be able to go as deep into cutting the non-defense accounts. After the budget resolution is passed, or the budget is passed in the House and the Senate, then they'll come up with some sort of resolution which will give both the authorizers and the appropriators a number that they have to mark towards. And the authorization committees, the Armed Services Committees, will start moving forward on the Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 16. And as I said, I expect it to be at least at the number the president requested today. The appropriators have more of a challenge because they're going to have difficulty passing their appropriations bills at a number on the non-defense accounts that is, you know, far lower than President Obama has requested, even lower than sequestration numbers. And that's where you'll see some of the tension and difficulty really playing out in the non-defense appropriations bills.
I'm happy, it appears, that everybody seems to agree that sequester should go away. I don't hear many calls anymore. There was a period of time where that was a fairly popular position, even among high-profile Republicans in the House. I don't hear much of that anymore. Am I not listening closely enough? Or does there seem to be a fairly broad consensus in Congress that sequester should go away, and now it just becomes the roadblock you mentioned a couple of moments ago, which is the different sides want to do it differently?
Well, when you say sequester has to go away or should go away, I think there is a consensus, across Republicans and Democrats that the Department of Defense should be given relief from sequestration. But that is quite different than saying sequestration should go away. In fact, I think what you've seen over the past 6 months or so is that Republicans all the way up to the leadership in the House and the Senate have taken the view that sequestration is a good thing, that we like the overall caps and the limits that it imposes on discretionary spending. And if you listen and read what Republican leadership is saying since the details of the Obama budget has come out over the past week or so, they've been attacking him for the overall spending, the discretionary spending. So I actually think that people are thinking about ways to give defense relief from sequestration while at the same time preserving the overall sequester caps.
Roger Zackheim of Covington and Burling, and maybe I'm splitting hairs then. Maybe I'm seeing a difference that's not really there. I guess the theme of what I'm hearing is the mechanism of sequester is a bad idea and should go away. And then it becomes a discussion, as you just alluded to, about the top lines and how much goes to what, how much is defense, how much is non-defense discretionary, and so on. Is that maybe am I more on target there, do you think?
True, yeah. That is accurate. And because there's really two elements of sequestration. One is what you mentioned, that if you go above the caps, it has this meat-axe approach of how you bring the level of spending down, and that sequester by program, projects, and activity. What I was referring to, the second piece of sequester, in terms of the caps it imposes in overall spending. Now, if you fund the government at sequester level caps, then you never even have to approach this issue of cutting each program, project, and activity at the same amount.
Right.
You avoid the meat-axe problem. And then even if you go and give defense relief over sequestration caps, but you stay within the total cap, then you still don't need much legislative change in terms of making sure you don't have this meat-axe approach. So I think Republicans on the whole view this as, hey, we like sequestration because if we spend at the levels of sequestration, we don't have to fund government or apply these cuts in this kind of irrational manner.
Yeah, the bottom line is, I know nobody would ever say it on the record, but the sense that I take away from listening to people both inside the department and people who are recently inside the department and who know this stuff is, if the number's going to be $498 billion, that's fine. Give us an appropriated bill of $498 billion and we'll figure out how to execute that budget, make it work. But don't give us a bill of $534 billion and then tell us we got to figure out where those $38 billion in cuts come from.
And I think that will happen. I think that's of course, a reasonable request.
Yeah.
And I think the Congress will deliver authorization and appropriation bills where sequestration won't have to be applied to whatever level of funding the Congress includes in those measures. But the bottom line is that the Department of Defense and the Obama administration have put forward a budget request that is significantly above sequestration without a clear path for figuring out how they're going to negotiate the Republican Congress on how to remove the sequester. And then the Department of Defense, as a result, has an entire, you know, agency working towards a number of $534 billion when the reality is they could end up being at 498 and not ready to figure out what their priorities should be at $498 billion.
I want to go back to the process as we wrap up, Roger. Do you have a sense that this will work any differently with the transition in the Senate from Democratic control, Senator Levin, to now a Republican control with Senator McCain, and with the transition from your old boss, Buck McKeon, on the House side, staying in Republican hands but transitioning to the new chairman, Mac Thornberry? Will that make any difference in the timeline or in the way that these are considered, or is that all procedural stuff that will stay pretty similar?
No, I think there'll be some changes, and that is the result of the fact that you have Republican majorities in the House and the Senate, so Senator McCain and Congressman Thornberry will have the support of their leadership to provide authorization bills that go off their respective floors. So you'll have a bill come off the House floor and the Senate floor in the end of May, June timeframe. And then they'll work to get an authorization bill passed through both chambers and put before the president's desk for signature by September. And that is what we call regular order, but something that has happened irregularly over the course of the past few years. Senator Levin really wanted regular order, but because of divisions between the House and the Senate, between Speaker Boehner and Leader Reid, they were not able to deliver that. You'll see that change now. The same will happen in appropriations bills, but as we've discussed earlier, there are definite challenges there. So the confrontation will now be between what the Congress proposes and the president and puts before the president's desk, and whether the president wants to sign those measures, as opposed to the past few years when it was a confrontation between the House and the Senate.